Welcome to the MJA podcast. I'm chatting today with Dr. Belinda O'Sullivan, who is a research fellow at Monash Uni School of Rural Health in lovely downtown sunny Bendigo. Welcome, Belinda, and thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Kate.
You've co-authored a perspective that's going in our 7th of August issue on specialist rural outreach. You did some really good research, a three-year study, didn't you? Why did you feel the need you had to do that study?
Well, Kate, the research about outreach, is a well-known practice around Australia, and a lot of specialists, we understood from the beginning that a lot of specialists were engaged in the practice.
Mm-hmm.
But what we didn't have was any sort of sense of what rural outreach services add to rural service capacity.
Right.
And so how rural outreach would work, you know, with regard to developing policy and practice. So information about the types of specialists doing outreach, where they're going, and how long they continue to provide outreach services for.
Is there an organised, overseeing organisation that looks after specialist rural outreach, or is it just up to the specialist to decide whether they want to do it or not?
Well, Australia has a formal national rural outreach policy which covers the costs of specialist doctors travelling to rural areas, as well as some funding for allied health services as well. But this research that we've done was able to uncover that that policy covers only around 20% of all outreach across Australia. So there's, you know, three out of every four specialists are doing it through other systems, including through, you know, public hospital systems, but also off their own bat. So some of the interesting parts of the work were to find out what those, you know, individual interests were, but also the types of employment systems, you know, public and private specialists, and how that if you're funding yourself, how far will you travel?
So what's the difference between the availability of specialists in major cities and out in the regions and remote areas?
Specialists are the largest group of Australian doctors, but they're the most maldistributed.
Mm-hmm.
Only 15% work in rural areas, compared with 30% of the Australian population. And that 30% of the Australian population is widely distributed across different regional centres and smaller rural and remote towns. So there's a lot of distance involved in that equation.
Did you find that there was a gender split between how or where or how often specialists will go to the bush?
The evidence from mostly from studies from the Medicine in Australia Balancing Employment and Life Survey has shown that certainly male specialists are more likely to participate in rural outreach work, and also female specialists had more trouble than their male counterparts in sustaining rural outreach for at least three years.
Is there any way of knowing why that might be so?
There's not a clear indicator as to why, but one can only predict that, firstly, the number of female specialists is growing in Australia, so understanding why and what's driving female specialists will be really important going forward. Secondly, with sustaining outreach, one potential issue that may affect female caregivers could be issues like the burden of regular travel. One option would be to think about telehealth or other systems to reduce that burden.
Right.
However, there's not a lot of evidence to say that telehealth would wholly replace a face-to-face rural outreach service.
Is there an age factor?
There is. Certainly specialists that are sort of in that stable mid-career stage do tend to provide outreach services and to be more likely to sustain these over time. Of course, that means we need some factors. We need to think about policies to support early career as well as specialists nearing retirement to continue their outreach work. Some options are things like building rural outreach into current specialist training position training options, so that we've got, you know, new registrars going through the system learning about rural outreach service provision and working with experienced providers, providing them a buffer.
Do specialists go to areas that they already have a link with or where they're from, or what's the driver in them determining where to go?
Well, the rural specialists, so the ones already working in rural areas, were more likely to provide outreach services than their metropolitan counterparts.
Okay.
This could be because they do have an understanding of local rural towns that have a particular need for a service. But they, when we looked at metropolitan specialists as a group, they were around three quarters of all rural outreach providers. And importantly, one factor that was different compared to their rural counterparts was that they said that they were providing outreach services more likely because they had a connection, a pre-existing connection to a region.
Okay.
We don't know the nature of that connection. It could be that they had family holidays in a particular location, or they have parents who have retired in a region, or that they've just merely had some exposure in their undergraduate medical training.
We have to be clever about this, don't we? We can't just send specialists willy-nilly into the bush, can we? We have to know what a particular population needs.
Absolutely. One thing that was highlighted through the analysis of the data was that there's a large volume and range of services operating both across high-density populations, so larger regional centres and nearby towns, as well as into remote areas. And one key issue, of course, at a regional level is that these services are brought together and well coordinated around regional population health needs, and also supporting the specialists already working in some of these regional centres. So
right.
not overlapping their services, and not perhaps taking easier caseloads and leaving the local specialists to take the rest. One thing that was highlighted as part of the research was that the Australian Government rural outreach policy subsidies do definitely make a difference, or
yeah.
They appear to relate to specialists going travelling further and being just as likely as those visiting nearby locations to want to continue that service provision. Now, this is really important when you start to think about specialists who are often very unlikely or unable to work in small populations, but these small remote communities who need specific services, the Australian Government policy is making a potential difference there. And although it's backing up only around 20% of all outreach service provision, It's an important intervention.
So if you could wave a magic wand and change one thing that would make a difference to the health of rural people, what would you do?
I think the utility of systems like rural outreach, telehealth, but also your locally sustainable rural workforce, is making sure that all the systems are lined up and linked in around addressing regional population need. Now, that's not just going to happen on its own. It's going to take motivated regional centres who sit down and look at their population health profile and consider systems that can sustain their workforce, attract the sort of workforce they need, using different models, not only by building local workforce, but also tapping into outreach service models to make sure that there is much care can be provided locally, reducing the need for patients to travel and making sure that patients have as convenient services as they can nearby where they live and work.
Is that work that needs to be done by primary health networks, or is it by, you know, local town practices themselves, or at what level does that thinking need to be done?
That's a really good question. A lot of the time, the centrepiece of healthcare in a town is the hospital, whether that's a small hospital or a large one. But we do need to, with regard to specialists and so many working privately, we do need to consider how to build this planning model, this
yep.
regional workforce planning model, around both public and private sector interests, and making sure that we don't just look to the hospital to provide everything, but how do we engage community-level specialist services provided in the private sector as well? Before this work was done, there wasn't much of an idea about the role that rural outreach would play, but the evidence clearly points to the fact that it will supplement the range of services available in larger regional centres, but also enable us to provide specific targeted services in small communities. And so the research is pointing to the fact that outreach is in fact a legitimate and feasible approach to supplementing and increasing access to specialist medical services, but will require specific multi-level policy, including subsidies, coordination, and of course flexible employment conditions so that specialists can participate. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Belinda.